Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
We are going straight into the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Best Wrestle Me podcasters.
Do you know,
2019.
Someone on Twitter, whose name I've forgotten because I always forget to write people's names down, and we do get quite a lot of tweets. Mm. Oh, yeah, it's a very popular podcast, actually. And actually, saying that, I noticed our ratings on iTunes. No one wants to hear this stuff. This is podcast house cleaning. Our ratings on iTunes, we're annoyingly close to 500 five-star reviews.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going on about this, about how it makes us probably at least 2.5 times more popular than any other UK wrestling podcast. Maybe not in terms of downloads, but I mean, people, look, I want it to be 500. So if you've not left a 5-star review.
I don't think I have.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I only just realised I wasn't following Absolute Radio on Twitter this week. I was like, I'm not following them on Twitter. Have they noticed?
When they stop following you, that's when you got to worry. But yeah, so look, I didn't actually agree with some of that. I think some of it's actually padding and everything. Don't care. Just 5 stars, thank you.
5 stars, write whatever you want underneath, as long as it's 5 stars.
Yeah, absolutely. You can even put 5 stars and go, this didn't. Actually, no, don't, because people might look at it. Just give us 5 stars. Right. Hall of Fame!
Hall of Fame!
This is why we get the 5 stars, baby.
Yes.
Someone did say on Twitter, look, are you ever going to just do special episodes on the Hall of Fames?
Right.
Now, the Hall of Fames, as they go on, they have these long induction speeches. But I went to the Hall of Fame for WrestleMania 25. I will talk about this when we get to the WrestleMania 25 thing. But I went with Alex Zane, our friend, and Alex, we had the single best night I think I've ever had on earth, because the stories that were told were so weird and strange. I mean, Jim Ross came out and he introduced Cowboy Bill Watts by going, maybe there was a time when Bill and I was drinking too much, maybe there's a time when Bill kicked out someone's eye. The whole room sort of went, the fuck? And you could see Jim Ross going, come on, lighten up, pansies.
This is real life.
The Hall of Fame is hilarious, but it's also incredibly long, and I just don't think you're going to be able to listen to an hour and 20 minutes of the Bushwhackers thanking them at Mans. I just don't think something which actually wouldn't happen because Vince has vetoed mentions of them at Mans. So, 4 stars.
Of the who?
Of himself.
So, oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Did I say that he's vetoed mentions of the Bushwhackers?
No, I was...
I think any time you're talking about a Hall of Fame, you should veto mention of the Bushwhackers. But yeah, Vince McMahon doesn't like being thanked in the Hall of Fame speeches.
Oh, right, okay.
There was actually one of the writers of who was working on the Hall of Fame. He was blamed for there being a mention of Vince McMahon being thanked in a speech, and he ended up resigning before he was fired.
Oh.
He takes it that seriously. Things that Vince McMahon doesn't like versus things that he does like. What don't you like? Being thanked. What else don't you like? The government.
What do you like?
Beefy men.
Big boys. I can pro. But he's sort of like, he doesn't want to be thanked, but he will happily indulge in nepotism.
Yeah.
Putting people over that don't really deserve it.
Yeah.
Really pushing people and ruining his own business.
A number of legal actions which, he's sort of not
come out,
I don't know.
Come
I mean,
with,
you say to come out smelling a rose, he never smells of roses.
No.
Awful.
Smells of Icapro.
which smells of ground up elk horn. They do a little Hall of Fame here, and this is the first year where they bring out the Hall of Fame recipients, the new inductees out onto the stage to meet the crowd. And what I love about this is these people have no idea the reaction they're going to get. So they come out and they're like, oh, we've got a lineup and everything. And not one of them can believe how over they are.
Huge.
Oh, yeah. So exciting. So the first one that they announce, Mean Gene comes out to just say, welcome the inductees.
Yes.
And the first one is Bobby Heenan.
Yes.
And the crowd, I don't think they're sort of, because it's precedent has been set now, you know, oh, this is if you like, the bit where we thank them for their years of service. Mm. And when they go, Bobby the Brain Heenan, the crowd go, boo, and they go, weasel, weasel. And Heenan.
I thought, God, sorry.
Heenan is just like, he's sort of like, okay, I'll do my wrestling thing. And then the crowd, as he sort of starts waving his arms like, you know, you're nothing, the crowd stop wildly applauding. And then Heenan's just like gesturing for them to come up and fight him. And you can see him sort of going, are they cheering me? What is this? What is this strange noise that normally I only hear 2 minutes after I've entered when Hulk Hogan comes in? And there's a big cheer. They get Tito Santana. And, you know, Tito's a really, really talented wrestler in his day. And he's so retired and out of the business by now. So he looks in really good shape, but he's got like tinted glasses on because he's always like, oh, I have to go out there and they'll just go, you know, like that. And he comes out a bit dressed like you would dress if you were going, you know, I don't know, out for dinner with your wife. It's somewhere local.
Getting a podcast award.
Yeah, something that we don't. Anyway, five stars. Yeah. Then the next one is. The next one, Gene does the sell. Now, if you're at home, you can see that there's a strap line explaining who it is.
Yeah.
And what there is a young man in his 30s, not in the greatest of shape, and Mean Gene just says, one of the sport's big men. He faced Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 1. Everyone's looking going, is this fucking fantasist? Who's this liar? Oh, yeah, I faced Andre the Giant at Wrestling Manians 1. It turns out it's the son of Big John Studd.
Yes, John Minton Jr.
They need to say John Minton Jr., yeah. Son of Big John Studd, at the top of that.
You'd really have to. And, who will collect the award is this person. He can't just let us go, liar. Yeah. This man, what has he done with Big John Studd? Is he in a Big John bin?
Arrest Big John Bin.
Big John Skip. He was big.
He was big.
Gigantic.
Harley Race, he waves. And Harley Race is the first one who's going, fuck, they're really pleased to see us.
Yeah, he looks like a shamed Scottish football manager.
He does. Do you know what he looked like? He looked like the absolute breakfast show co-host, Matt Dyson. but just like Matt Dyson's poured some talc on his head. Harley Race, his hips are very stiff when he comes up. And you really sort of go, that's a proper wrestler's walk. Pete Rose,
yay!
Who is in the celebrity wing. Pete Rose is the only one it doesn't go well for.
But they were all booing him because he's like the bad... he's never welcome, is he?
But you can see Pete Rose going, oh, well, that's all part of the play acting. They'll probably do the... No.
I do a voiceover on one of the Discovery Channel subsidiaries, D-Max. And there's a TV show that they're constantly playing called Tanked, where two men, Wade and Brett, make fish tanks for people.
Right.
And it said, Pete Rose, you know, fucking baseball star legend Pete Rose, is it come in for a tank from Brett and Wade? And I was like, I forgot he played baseball. Yes. He's usually getting two.
He's the man
by
who's having
Kane.
The lifetime feud with Kane. Don Morocco is there as well. We see him again. He's wearing a baseball cap that's got the logo of presumably some kind of defunct nutritional supplier. I don't know. Again, he takes it off when they applaud because he suddenly sort of goes, oh, I shouldn't have worn a baseball cap for this. This is really... Don Morocco is really interesting. He's one of the legends they never really did much with. And he came from a sort of like a pre... Hulkamania period, which is very much sort of seen as being, you know, the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
But it's sort of funny, you see him there and he looks largely the same as he did during his career. Mm. But it's funny they never sort of had him in a bigger
did
role,
anything.
Really.
Right.
You know, he still looks like he did when he was a wrestler.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a big key to whether or not they'll use you again. You can't look too different. My favourite one here is Greg Valentine comes out.
Yes.
And Greg Valentine is... He has never, ever been cheered in his career because he's never really been a good guy and he's slow and he's ponderous. And he's, you know, since, like, 1981, he is just... He is, well, probably about 85. He is just slow and rubbish. Over the years, Greg Valentine's face has become very rigid. He's been described as looking like one of those Native American statues you used to get outside American cigar stores. Right? Google it. And he's gone very tan, and he just looks like a tree. He looks like a haunted tree. One of those, in Lord of the Rings, they've got those trees that's what, going, yeah, what we will not be involved in your war.
Literally why I stopped watching. You got the end of that film, I'm not watching any of these more. I'm not watching any more of these.
If you can picture that tree, not saying, we won't get involved in your puny war, but they can go, I'll get you rugged Ronnie Garvin. That is Greg Valentine now. And Greg Valentine, he comes up and he's got... his mouth has doubled in size at the edges and it's just a real sort of like crescent.
Like,
and they applaud and he doesn't know what to do and he's really glum. And as he takes a step back, he turns to someone and he starts giggling. He's going... And it's like a magic moment where Greg Valentine was capable of human emotion. I don't know. Something got through.
These men who just sort of turn up, men and women, and they just become alive again.
He does not know what's happened. What's really funny is I've noticed this, that Greg Valentine, he obviously gets invited every year as a Hall of Famer to the Hall of Fame. Mm. I don't think he's missed one.
Right.
You always see him in the audience. And it's obvious he's just going, that was the best thing that's ever happened to me. And so he just hangs around once a year going... Oh, I can still smell the sort of, you know, the moment a crowd applauded for me. Junkyard Dog's daughter is there, LaToya. She is incredibly out of that. This is from 15 years ago. These are all wrestlers from the 80s. She is one of only two people there who is dead now.
Oh, she did now?
Yeah, so Junkyard Dog had predeceased her. He'd been driving back from her high school graduation.
Yeah.
And he'd, I think, fallen asleep at the wheel or had a heart attack and crashed the car. But LaToya, his daughter, she died, I think, in 2011. She was only 31.
Oh, that rings a bell, yeah.
Funny thing of she was just on the phone to a friend and then she went silent and the friend heard a thump. And that was just her lights out.
That sounds like a
weird story.
Yeah, maybe that's what Junkyard Dog had. But either way, that's weird, that, isn't it?
Then you get superstar Billy Graham. With the one person who slightly milks the applause. He's sort of like, hey, yeah, brother, biggest star. You know, biggest star.
People think it's not Hulk Hogan, mate. People think. I look at Billy Graham and I go, yeah, I could probably do a Billy Graham custom figure.
Oh, yeah.
With using Hulk Hogan figures.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's more to do with Hulk Hogan ripping off superstar Billy Graham, in fairness.
But isn't that sad? Yeah. Imagine how annoyed you must have been.
Do you remember last time we were talking about superstar Billy Graham on this podcast? We were talking about him accusing the WWE of...
Oh, he was on the
giving
TV
out
show,
steroids,
wasn't he? Yes.
And the sexual abuse of the wrestlers.
Ring guys.
And he had basically perjured himself again and again in court. Mm. So you might wonder why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Because he's not very good at giving evidence. God, that's why. The jewel in the crown.
They made it up with him. And he got very ill. And I think he sort of had a born-again Christian sort of, you know, change. Mm. And they welcomed him back into the family. Oh, he has fallen out with them again. They've mended their bridges. And I believe they've fallen out again.
Right.
He just sometimes will just start
flip out,
saying, think about my man, he doesn't care about the deaths. What are you doing, mate? What are you doing? This week, Superstar Billy Graham has been unpopular because he put up
he's
a
not
Facebook
releasing
post.
Another poster.
he's put up a Facebook post where he said, "I'm sick of this shit, sick of it." He said, "I got a GoFundMe going on." He says, "And I can see that there are people out there who follow me on Facebook. This is your friends. They haven't paid to the GoFundMe." So he's basically got someone to go through and match up people following him on Facebook as to whether they've given a donation to his GoFundMe. And it basically, he'd written a line, which I love, which is, he'd go, "I'm so sick and tired of dealing with you people. Just give me your money." You know, I'm sounding a bit like Dusty Rhodes here. I prefer doing that voice. Give me your money. But so he's still up to his old tricks, is Superstar Billy Graham. Sergeant Slaughter is there. Big cheer for the Sarge.
Yeah, still got the sash.
Still looking immediately recognisable. yeah. And he's great because he wears his, like, you know, his Marine Corps instructor hat. And like, he's in a suit, but he's got a camouflage T-shirt. Like, he's happy to be shot, but not in his precious torso. Anywhere else is fine. And then the final one is Jesse Ventura.
Yes.
Having every time you've seen Jesse before, he looks like he's in RuPaul's Drag Race, right? He just looks like...
Why is he now dressed some kind of Muslim Brotherhood?
I know.
Kind of like black bandana.
I presume by this point he's got a political career.
Sweet Louisiana. Is that a song from the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana.
Just Ventura again.
Sorry. Well, he's not a politician, so he wants to be... Is he about to be a politician?
I think he's been mayor, and I think he may...
be considering a run in 2008.
I think he's probably doing the local stuff at this point, and then he becomes a whatever he becomes. Was it senator? I forget.
I think he makes senator.
Yeah. We'll get to see him again in a while in a exciting moment that I'd totally forgotten about.
It's weird to see. Weird to see.
So from the Hall of Fame, the people who built wrestling, the greatest sport on earth, what could be better than to showcase the wonders of our sport?
I mean, there's a genuine, like, you know, as I said, I've watched football. I watched wrestling. Help, I watched wrestling for a year now, and I've gone through the journey of seeing, you know, and I think I dressed up as who did I dress up as at the WrestleMania,
Lord Alfred Hayes.
I dressed up as Lord Alfred Hayes, and you dressed up as Gorilla Monsoon. Mm. And so we were very much big fans of those guys, and Bobby the Brain's Hall of Fame speech. I mean, let's face it, it was massively undercut by the smooching he was doing earlier.
Oh, God. Do you know, I've forgotten that bit. The actual speech he did.
Yeah.
Oh.
About Gorilla Monsoon.
You see, I was building up to announcing that we cut from the Legends to the first ever Playboy evening gown match.
Yeah. Well,
which is fuck that. But that is a absolute moment. That speech that Bobby Heenan does, where he looks up at the sky, they show that little clip of him, and he says the only thing that can make this better, and he begins choking with emotion, would be if Monsoon was here.
That got me. That got me. Bobby in his freaking pre-illness clothes, let's face it. His massive giant jacket.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, I wish he was there. So, shit. And then what did they do there? I'm fairly certain that's pre-recorded as well. That's not in the actual
so
arena,
that's,
is it?
That's from the event the night before.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's in full not, on the DVD.
Would you not move it? Would you not move that around? Because what comes next is a fucking... is what they didn't learn from last year with the fucking Miller Lite girls.
They never learned. This is an extension of the I bet I can nail Trish before you nail Lita thinking. We're doing a thing here where ruthless aggression is there. It's all about the sports. It's all apart from the women, in which case it's all about imagine if you saw a nip.
Tutus.
So, mate, this.
Fuck off, Chimmel. With your fucking match. Fuck off.
This is Sable and Tori Wilson, who were on the cover of a Playboy together. This is a little bit of cross-promotion. Taking on Stacey Keibler, who, once again, seems so far... wrestling seems so beneath her in this sort of thing, where she comes out and she's elegant and classy, and she does... I think she performs like an actress. I imagine she gets back and she just goes, I feel so unclean.
Grubby.
This is... oh. And Miss Jackie. Miss Jackie was a co-winner of Tough Enough.
Right.
A girl called Jackie Gaydar. And she, not... I mean, it does sound like an app. It's not... it ends with the.
Oh, you're
a
real Jackie Gaydar, you?
Oh, look who's here, Miss Jackie Gaydar.
Jackie Gaydar sounds like a really bad Admiral Duncan drag act.
I've started going to the Miss Jackie Gaydar. it's good, but it's in a rough area.
She is outrageous.
She is, again, one of those people who, like Eva Marie, is famous for being one of the worst wrestlers of all time.
Right.
That's really unfair to her. What she was someone who really wanted to do wrestling, who won this competition that put them in the spotlight far too early, and they pushed her out there without giving her really enough time to be at that level. That was also something that after the death of Ashley Massaro, which was relatively recently when we're recording this, she also talked about that in a suit that she launched about concussions. And she said she was not given the time to learn wrestling. She was pushed into the ring much too early because they wanted to capitalise on her success in this televised competition. That was really the case with Jackie Gaydar. So she has one of the worst ever matches that's been broadcast on WWE TV in 2002, which is her and Christopher Nowinski, another Tough Enough winner who would retire very early with a concussion that ended his career, and he would end up becoming an expert on concussions suffered in sports. And they're taking on Trish Stratus and Bradshaw, and it's the probably the worst WWF match to ever be broadcast.
Right.
Full of botches. It was terrible. They've got her in this, and I suppose the thinking is, well, this isn't really a fucking match.
Yeah.
It's an evening gown match. The winner is the one who rips off the other one's dress. And they start it by going, Sable comes out. Sable herself, surprise return after she's launched a huge, I think, a nine-figure legal action against WWE for harassment and things like that. They managed to get her back. Superstar Billy Graham, Sable. there's no one they can't get back.
It's probably because they're losing all of their stuff. Because shit, we've forgotten to redo Rock's contract.
That frees up some money.
Shit.
But they tear off their gowns before it even starts. Because the worst thing would be is not getting to see these athletes just in their pants.
Yeah.
The men in the crowd in this, if you look at the back, they've all got their cameras and they're really at a funny angle where it's they're trying to get up things and down things.
There's a sign from far away. You can sort of see, it says, I came to see Miss Jackie, but the word see is around the corner. So it's like, I came to Miss Jackie.
I feel for her. She you can see it in her face that she's going, this is all spiralling out of control. She went on to, she didn't have a long WWE career, but she did meet her husband, a guy called Charlie Haas, who wrestled for a number of years. They're still together. They opened up a custom muscle nutrition and smoothie shop in Frisco, Texas. It's closed now, but it certainly ran for a while. It said it is not your mom and pop vitamin store.
Oh.
I mean, clearly that's what people wanted.
Well, but yeah, exactly. If you'd done that, maybe. Yeah. But your mom didn't wrestle in WrestleMania, so.
No.
Fine.
I watched this and I thought, do you know what? It's a very sort of, that word thirsty. Oh, you're thirsty.
Mate, at one point, Taz gets so excited and flustered. He can't say half the words he wants to say. He sounds like at one point he's about to shout, I want to eat them. I wouldn't have been surprised if he went, I want to eat their flesh.
The crowd just. this is one of those things where if you're saying, and I know they've changed it now, you know, we've just had the first WrestleMania main event that was headlined by female performers, but you go back at this stuff and you go, fuck me, this is
not that long ago.
15 years ago. And you can see why people went, this is so sleazy and so gross. It's weird, man. There's a really weird bit that I've never seen mentioned, and I watched it on this bit, where Tori rolls up Miss Jackie Gaydar. And she's got her on the floor in a pin, and they count to three. And as soon as the pinfall happens, Tori grabs Jackie Gaydar's underwear and starts trying to rip it in half.
Right.
She's just trying to expose her genitals. I don't know whether it's some kind of hazing thing, but you can see Jackie Gaydar, like, what the fuck is happening here? And again, the fact that you have a working environment where that sort of thing... What was Tori Wilson hoping would happen? What was she hoping would happen?
You just expose a vagina on the telly and now you can't work for the rest of the rest.
Yeah.
Of the rest.
That was brilliant. Do you remember when we went out to that professional thing and as a little surprise, I exposed your anus and vagina to the world? Do you remember that? And do you remember you were a bit worried before because you felt like you hadn't been prepared enough? And then I exposed your genitals. I mean, it's like a living nightmare. It was terrible.
Didn't I read... when I was having a read up about this one, was Sable's... One of her implants had ruptured, so she didn't want to wrestle in the clothes, so that's why everyone lost their clothes or something. I can't remember.
Got you.
Something like that.
Does that make sense?
I don't know. Mark, I just don't know. And when I watch this match, I just don't know.
There was a lovely little bit that Sable's former husband, Mark Merrow, did. So Sable has returned to the WWE.
Right.
And the one thing that happens for her is that she meets her new partner and later husband and father of their children, Brock Lesnar. So this is happening at this point. And Mark Merrow was on Jim Ross's podcast. that was a spit by the Too Loud. Any time we mention the opposition, they get a spit. I'm sure it's very good.
Ross does.
I'm sure Jim Ross cares what we think. And one of the things Mark Murray talks about was the end of his marriage.
Right.
And he said a great line. He said, he's talking about this period. We were still married at the time, but we weren't really seeing each other. I don't know, it was falling apart. I remember calling her and her not answering the phone, and I'd get very upset. Here I am assuming she was seeing another wrestler. I remember thinking, when I find out who this guy is, I am going to beat the tar out of him. When I found out it was Brock Lesnar, it gives forgiveness a whole new meaning.
That's actually quite a good line. I enjoyed that.
That was very sweet. But yeah, I mean, what a fucking disaster.
Piece of shit.
I mean,
piece
horrible.
Piece of shit.
The very worst of WWE at this period. Mm. Awful.
And then we move on to a glimpse of people who are coming into the arena or kind of. Why do they always find Scousers? Scousers are always there.
It's like a section where they're like, you know what we've got to do? We have got to talk to the people who have come from a long way away. They need to have accents. Do you know what's a good accent? British accent.
Yes.
And it's six or seven people, one guy from Ireland, six or seven people.
Visible neck tattoo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Talking about how essentially how far they've come and how excited they are. And it's a classic bit of British people where the Irish guy is really charismatic.
Yeah.
And all the British people, and a lot of the Scousers and quite a lot from Birmingham.
Yeah.
So they talk about it like they're talking about plugs, about having to buy a new plug. We've come all the way from Birmingham. It's taken 7 hours. Like that, just no enthusiasm. They cut to a bloke who's, we've been to Disneyland and this was even better. I'm just a buzz. My whole skin is tingling.
He doesn't. If you've not seen this bit, his skin does not look like it's tingling. If it's tingling, it's a workplace injury. It's asbestos. He worked with asbestos in the 70s.
My white finger is not. There's no sensation at all. The good thing about that is he's got like kids with him, and I don't think it's the thing like you just go on holiday. But maybe the kids were like, we really want to go to WrestleMania, and it coincides. And he did it, and he got what he did was like a dad. Sometimes if you sort of like put something. Like a microphone or a camera in front of your dad will lose his fucking mind.
Yeah.
And that thing of him sort of going, oh, look, they're filming over there, you know, that's, well, I'm going to go and get myself my skin's all abuzz. It's the most wonderful fucking thing.
I just want to see the women in their negligees. It's like, I remember we were at Butlins and a bloke, one of the yellow coats? I don't know, either. Came over and went, shoved a microphone in my dad's face, and my dad is no into that kind of shit.
No rock on the old stick.
And he and they went, oh, so what do you think about this? And asked him a question. He went, well, I think that, this. And then he went, oh, good, that's good. It doesn't matter, really, because my mic's not plugged in. Oh, and he walked off. And I just went, fucking prick.
I once put my dad on the radio. I was doing Vox Pops for a Capital feature we were running at the time. And I bumped into my dad in Leicester Square. He and my mum had like going out for the day.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Hey, great. I said, oh, Dad, I'm going to put you straight onto the radio. My dad was like, oh, yep, here we go. Lovely. Okay, so yeah, we're here with Mike. Mike, what's going on? And my dad was looking at his shoes and he just went, couldn't speak. Thanks, Mike.
I remember when I was on Danny Wallace's show on Six Music, we rang my dad. I can't remember why, but he was in the garden.
Will you come and pick Peter up, please? he's been very sick.
It was like, I just remember my dad using the word fractious. He said, I'm feeling very fractious. A word I'd never heard him use before. He said, I'm feeling very fractious.
Both of them would have been fine conversations had they actually said, I'm just a buzz. My whole skin is tingling. That's absolutely the right thing to do. Go up, not down.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Then we have a little promo, don't we?
Yes, Eddie Guerrero. I could watch Eddie Guerrero do VTs. He's just so happy and charismatic, and
he is
friendly looking.
So much charisma. Charisma in bucket loads.
What a lad.
He's also talking to Chris Benoit, who's very intense.
Yes, very intense.
Very intense. Much too intense.
Too intense.
I don't think anyone's going to take me to task for that. I think he was quite an intense man.
Don't think he'll sue.
The Cruiserweight Invitational match, a sort of gauntlet match. This is a period where they, with SmackDown, they began saying, well, let's get Cruiserweights on, and that will make it the exciting brand where there's these Cruiserweights giving you great action.
Right.
And Vince McMahon does not like Cruiserweights because they're small, they're not very muscular, they aren't huge, and they're boring, and they're stupid. And if you like them, you're stupid too. What's the best thing to do with that? Is it to go, well, not for me, but they could make money if we built them up. They could do spectacular matches. No.
Put them in that bin over there. Put them all together.
Okay.
In a bin.
Let's have them do a chain match, a long chain match, where they you know, fight in a gauntlet, winner stays on. Let's have, I don't know, 9 of them, and let's give them 2.5 seconds. And if they can't do it in that, they're all fired. And there's so much talent in this match. And there's nothing they do with it.
No.
Rey Mysterio, it took him a long time to have a good WrestleMania match. This is not that match.
No, it's not.
Chavo Guerrero Jr. is the champion here. Mm. His father, Chavo Guerrero Sr., renamed Chavo Classic. Funny. That is good. He comes out and all these people are there.
Coke.
I know, it's really good, isn't it? New Coke and Classic Coke. They get through. Honestly, there are some matches here you could have had that were great. So even, you know, your Nunzios and your Jamie Nobles, they never really sort of like connected, I think, with the WWE audience particularly. You could make a case for Jamie Noble. But you could have had Tajiri and Ultimo Dragon. You could have had Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman. You could have done something with this that could have showcased the Cruiserweights rather than this where everyone's made to look like you literally touch them and they can be pinned.
Yeah.
You know, they are fragile, bone china men. These matches, I mean, some of them are literally as long as it takes to do a 3 count.
Yeah, imagine like Ultimo putting all his clothes on.
Yeah.
All his magnificent clothes and then coming in and just, you know.
Yeah. And Ultimo Dragon, for years, had been seen as one of the great cruiserweights. Mm. He did a period in the WWE at a time when there weren't very many Japanese stars. Tajiri is there as well, but he'd had an ECW career. He was known to American fans. Ultimo Dragon was a guy you only knew from trading tapes of things like the Best of the Super Junior tournament in Japan. He was a proper established legend. He'd had a long career in Mexico. He went all over the world. And what he really wanted to do was he wanted to wrestle at WrestleMania. And they allowed him to do that for probably 40 seconds. It's so such a waste of talent. I can't begin to think why, after that Playboy evening gown match, you know, why you wouldn't have said, do you know what, I know it's nice to have the girls out, but why don't we do something else with them and we can give the Cruiserweights a chance? Mm. It just seems crazy. The one thing that you know out of this is this horrible, shitty match. It goes really quickly. Rey Mysterio has a little, I think the best thing is where he's in with Billy Kidman. the crowd get behind him, and the obvious thing is you have to end this match the only way possible, which is that Ray wins the belt, because then everyone goes home happy and Ray doesn't look like a fucking loser. Or you could not do that. And you could let Chavo win so that everyone goes, not only was that match bad, not only are all those
we've
people
ended up
weak,
here.
I also don't like it. It's amazing.
Doesn't it all start as well with something? The only thing is, like, again, there's still some awful stuff in this. You know, people, you know, fucking people for dollars and stuff, and the Playboy magazine bullshit.
Mm.
They haven't bothered cutting any of that out, but they've cut out the bit where Ultimo Dragon runs into the thing and slips over.
He had a very famous botch, and part of that is because all he wanted to do was be at WrestleMania, and he thought, oh, do you know what? They're giving me this shitstorm, but at least I'm at WrestleMania. Nothing else is going to go wrong.
And he slips.
He does. It's one of the famous botches. They edit that out.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me a bit dishonest. Because it's not because you're going botches, you know, never happen or whatever. It seems dishonest because how is it any worse than the match they put on?
Yeah.
You know, how is it? How are you going to have Tori Wilson literally trying to rip open the underwear of Jackie Gaydar and go, that's all right, but when Ultimo Dragon just genuinely fell over a bit, no,
a shanty singing the national anthem, no more.
Yes.
Apparently on the Limp Bizkit thing, I mentioned that Wes Borland hadn't even bothered putting his face makeup on. Apparently, it was the point where Wes Borland from Limp Bizkit hadn't.
It's amazing.
Left Limp Bizkit. It's weird what people all...
It's amazing the confluence between people who like WrestleMe and also know quite a lot about the band Slipknot. I'm glad to see it.
It wasn't Slipknot, Mark. Don't start another one.
Limp Bizkit. Got you. Okay.
So
they're the ones with Wes Borland in, aren't they?
and the guy with the dreads, I think, was from Korn, I believe.
Yeah.
And that is not me. I think
can't believe Wes Borland didn't put his face paint on.
Seeing Rey Mysterio at his mask.
My favourite little line in this as well is at the end where Chavo is helped Chavo Classic has helped new Chavo win.
You are a Chavo Classic.
Taz tries to explain it as to why it happens, and he just goes, I think Michael Cole goes, but that was cheating. And Taz just goes, the father always helps the son. In what circumstances? I can't think of one. The father always helps the son.
Was he on the phone to his own dad? Look, this is a paycheck that will have to go to my debts. Yeah. Just help me out this one time, all right?
The father always helps the son. You know what they say. You know that famous phrase.
Say it again.
The father always helps the son.
Right. Any more before we shuffle off this? We slip over and then try and get down the
Do you know what? Let's rattle through really quickly.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg.
Okay, yeah.
Stone Cold as the guest referee.
Yes.
One of the most infamous WrestleMania matches of all time.
Mm.
What basically happens is Goldberg signed a year-long contract that started the day after WrestleMania 19.
Right.
He's been in the WWE and he comes in at a high level, has a match with The Rock, which he wins, but the WWE fans don't quite go for him and WWE don't know what to do with him.
Right.
Goldberg is a limited wrestler, but he works very well in explosive things. If he wins in 5 minutes or 2 minutes, great.
Mm.
If you have to do a 25-minute match, he loses a lot of his unique appeal.
Right.
WWE begin mishandling him. There's a famous bit where he does a skit backstage very early on with Goldust where they put a wig on him and Goldust has to sort of go, I've got long, lovely hair. He doesn't say that. He's annoyed about it, but he does it and he doesn't like beat Goldust up.
Right.
And they stop making him an ass kicker. And Goldberg, he was never a fan of wrestling. He doesn't have a big thing about, I really want to be in WWE.
Yeah.
He's just like, I want a paycheck. And he begins seeing this and he goes, right, I'm not the top star here.
Mm.
I'm losing matches to Triple H.
Mm.
I've won the belt, but I'm not in the main mix.
Mm.
And so he goes, right, do you know what? I've done a year. Thank you very much for the money. I'm going to do other things.
Mm.
Fair enough. So they put him in the ring against Brock Lesnar. It's a bit of a dream match. The guy who has always been WWE, part of the new generation, taking on this great figurehead from WCW, their biggest star. What they really wanted to do at this point was Goldberg versus Steve Austin.
Mm.
That was one of the dream matches, the big money matches that never, ever happened. And it didn't happen for the simple reason that by this point, Austin has retired.
Yeah.
So they say, well, Brock Lesnar is the next big thing. We're trying to make him huge. How better than to have him beat Goldberg, this sort of formerly unbeatable guy?
Mm.
And Vince McMahon had said to Lesnar, what we're going to do, you're going to beat Goldberg in 30 seconds. And that's going to be huge because he's on his way and that will make you a megastar. What Vince McMahon hadn't realised at that point is that Brock Lesnar had looked around the locker room and he'd seen all these broken down wrestlers. He talks about seeing Eddie Guerrero just in pain trying to do his boots up. Mm. And he looks around and he thought, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be doing this. Mm. He also, not a huge fan of pro wrestling. He was a massive amateur wrestler. And he begins thinking, I'm not very happy with this. He finds himself on a diet of vodka and Vicodin. And he thinks, I can see one way here, which is I'm going to become like all these guys, taking far too many, you know, self-medications. Mm. In constant pain, and you know, that's not for me. He goes on a tour, they send him on a tour to South Africa, and he's fighting Bob Holly, and he just hates it. He hates being away from America. He doesn't understand why he's got to travel all this distance to do something he's not very keen on. So I think he walks out on a SmackDown. He says, I don't want to do this really anymore. They've taken the belt off him and they've given it to Eddie Guerrero. And Vince McMahon has said it's because the Latino market is exploding, and we really think we can grab that with Eddie.
Yeah.
But Brock Lesnar begins to go, no, what's going on? I don't trust you. I don't trust any of you. You're all liars. The wrestling business is full of liars.
Oh, I don't want to see him paranoid.
No.
I'm trying to restrain him.
So, a week before WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar gave his notice. He said, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done. He said, I want to go and become a football player in the NFL. Everyone was like, really? Okay. They say, you've got no experience of this. He said, no, I want to play for the Minnesota Vikings. And they go, well, okay, I can't do anything about it. So what they're stuck with was, I mean, they put so much money into him as well, so much money. He was going to be the big star. And suddenly the big star is going, I want to play a football game. So he was supposed to be the replacement for Austin, and suddenly you've lost both of them.
Right.
Now, what you have in that match is you have two men who don't want to be there, and they don't want to get hurt because they're going on to do other things. So they turn up. What had happened is the internet had found out.
Mm.
And so the fact that both of them were leaving was widely known. And the crowd destroy them from the moment they step in there. They start chanting, you sold out, you sold out. Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey, goodbye.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar is really fucking rattled by this. He does not like it at all.
Well, he's not even sold out. No one's really sold out. Just, I don't want to do this anymore. It's rubbish.
Yeah, absolutely. You no, sold
like,
I'm out.
I'm hurt. Did you see me? A year ago, I was dropped on my fucking head.
Yes.
It was agony.
Yeah. They begin chanting, and the crowd take over this match. And what they do is they just sort of go, this is a match where our job is to boo the fuck out of everything.
Right.
So Goldberg, there's a bit where Goldberg hits his spear, and the crowd go, yay! And then they go, no, we're supposed to be booing.
Yeah.
Boo! And you can see Goldberg just going, I have no idea what's going on. There's a big section at the end where Goldberg hits, oh no, Lesnar hits his move and the crowd boo.
Mm.
Goldberg suddenly hits his move and the crowd boo. They're just booing everything that's going on. Now, the two of them are, I think they're both rattled. And I think in Brock Lesnar's case, I think he's genuinely hurt by the reaction.
Mm.
And they don't lock up at all well. They're just pausing, like they don't know what to do. They're both sort of... Goldberg less so, but Lesnar seems startled.
Yeah.
And he seems genuinely like he wants to... I think if you put him in that situation one-on-one, he could just grab you by your head and crush it. But when there's all these people, he just sort of... He's like a sort of animal, like a wild animal that comes into a city, like say, a bear. And there are just too many people and too many bright lights, and he just doesn't know what to attack first. And so he's just stuck in the headlights, and it's fucking terrible. They called an audible about 2 days before this, so Lesnar was still supposed to win. And when they realised that the crowd would shit on it, and they realised that in advance,
right.
They didn't know to the extent, but they just sort of said, oh, well, Goldberg's supposed to be the good guy to some degree. He's like more of a legend. He's going to win. It didn't matter. Mm. The crowd don't care, and they boo their way through this. It is one of the worst WrestleMania matches you'll ever see because it goes so badly wrong and they are so affected by it and the crowd are not letting them get away with anything.
Yeah.
It's magic. One of the people who was supposed to be leading the You Sold Out chants in the crowd was Shane McMahon. I love the way they take it so personally. But the match is terrible. It's terrible. And the only time the crowd cheer is when the match ends.
Well, obviously it ends in a kind of slightly messy way because obviously... at one point, Lesnar gives Goldberg an F5.
Mm.
Actually, it might have been in the VT beforehand, in fact. And now, when I was hearing the F5, I'd only heard it up at, around about this point, so I thought it had something to do with, you know, the refresh key on. I didn't know it was a tornado.
Right, okay.
So I was like, oh, because it's like the refresher, like you're wiping everything.
I don't know what the 5Fs
again.
Are.
Say again?
I don't know what the 5Fs are.
I don't know. I think it's like a storm or a... Yeah, it's a grading system for tornadoes, I think.
Got ya.
It's because you're spinning them around. But I thought... It was like the refresher. Like I'm pressing F5. I'm wiping everything out.
That's a much better
one. Starting again.
That's much better.
The refresher. It would be a cool move.
I mean, the crowd in this are sensational.
Not loving it.
I think this is one of the first times as well where a crowd properly, as one, give their verdict on a match that isn't just positive. We like that.
Yes.
This is one where they go, we hate not just the match, not the people, but the booking. Mm. And it's a really, really strange one. Lesnar does leave after this. He ends up being signed by the Minnesota Vikings. He gets dropped. He just doesn't have, you know, quite what he needs for that particular thing.
There's a level of arrogance to sort of say, I can do this.
And then he says, well, in that case, I'm going to go to UFC. And again, everyone goes, but you've never done it, mate. And he's like, well, I'm a top-level amateur, you know, wrestler. WWE, he'd signed a massive contract that they let him out of. Right. One of the things that they said in it is, you can't do any pro wrestling or MMA for the length of the contract.
Okay.
And it was something like 6 years after point. So he took them to court and he said that having the non-compete clause within this contract was a violation of right to work law.
Mm.
And he...
Bosman, who did the free transfer, started the free transfer thing in football.
Got you. He basically won. Mm. And it was the first time really anyone had won a big legal case as an independent contractor against the WWE.
Oh, cool.
That freed him up to compete in Japan and also UFC, where he really made his name. He won the UFC Heavyweight Championship from Randy Couture. He became one of the biggest draws in MMA for that period.
Mm.
And it made him a huge, huge star. So when he came back after many, many years, I mean, it must have been... 10 years.
Mm.
When he finally came back to the WWE, they really had to pay through the nose to get him, which must have been infuriating. Really good. Goldberg, he stayed away from wrestling for a long, long time. He did lots of sort of like, you know, business ventures, but he returned in 2016 after he was a downloadable sort of pre-order character in the WWE 2K16 Xbox and PlayStation game.
Yeah.
And basically, like the Ultimate Warrior and like Kurt Angle, their inclusion in that game, which was negotiated through the actual game manufacturer THQ, ended up being the thing that brought them back to WWE.
Yeah.
And he ended up having quite a few matches with Brock Lesnar, which were this time perfectly handled.
Oh, cool.
And they really did it much, much better. And they will end up meeting at WrestleMania again. And it was much, much better.
Oh, good news.
So it ends happily.
It ends happily, as it so often doesn't.
One last thing that happens here, and it's sort of connected with the last match, is suddenly Vince McMahon comes out. And they say, ladies and gentlemen, the chairman of the WWE, Mr. Vince McMahon. And he comes out, and he's basically on camera, always been a bad guy. And in this, he just comes out to no music. And he thanks the crowd in the most aggressive way that you've ever heard. He starts going, you people, I want to thank you for all turning up. You make this. And everyone's like, where's this going? And he just ends it by, he says thank you very much. And it's impossible to do justice to how unfriendly it sounds.
It's really short.
Thank you very much.
If anything, like Lesnar in the last match sounded, when he was cutting his promo, like he's got quite a whiny voice.
Yes. Tell him to his face. Tell him to his face.
Yeah, because of you, Goldberg, I can sleep at night.
But I think there's a funny thing there of Vince going, that was such a disaster.
Yeah, he must have thought,
to come out like almost as an act of penance.
But he must have seen that
like
coming,
that queen
maybe.
In Game of Thrones where they walk up through the streets.
Shame.
Yeah, whether they saw it coming or not, I don't think they saw the extent of it coming.
Mm.
But certainly when he was there, he would have been backstage. I would kill to see footage of him filmed when this was going on, because he would have taken all of this personally. Things that he had planned, ruined, and then they're out there stinking up his WrestleMania. It's just
with
funny
muscles.
That he comes out and he's saying thank you in an aggressive way, and what he really means is, I'm sorry. But the idea that he could come out and say that, he's Vince McMahon.
Sorry about that.
So Vince McMahon says thank you.
It was good when everyone did the swear words, wasn't it? The fucking middle fingers.
Vince, would you like to apologise? Thank you very much. That's as close as you get.
Well, this has been another smashing episode, even though I said to myself 5 stars, of WrestleMe. If you want to get to the show, as always, it is show at WrestleMePod.com. Yes, we've got the URL. Yes, we are investing in our futures. And yes, we do fucking deserve 5 stars. Good night.
WrestleMe.
WrestleMe, Mark.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.